Baruch Hashem, we've done so many tzaddikim over the course of these couple of years. And in the sefer which we primarily use, Zichrono Livracha, so the more meforsim tzaddikim, so there are more stories. And, you know, the tzaddikim who are maybe just as great, maybe greater, but not as meforsim, we don't have as many stories. So towards the end of this month, Chodesh Sivan, of course, every single day, there's yortzeit of great tzaddikim. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, we share many stories in one sitting. You know, it can be 10 to 20 stories. And so we need 10 to 20 stories. So in order to do that, finding that it's kedai every once in a while when necessary to jump around, even though, you know, tzaddik is a tzaddik at any time of the year, and it's always a mitzvah to be Masafer Sipurim. So even though the tzaddik for tonight is yortzeit is Hey Nisan, but we're going to Ches Nisan, excuse me. We're going to share tzaddik's, the stories of that tzaddik, of Mordechai from Nashchiz, of Motel from Nashchiz. So Rav Mordechai, he lived in the tkufa of the Doradeya, the Hainu, Beit HaMelech, the Abderav, Chayza from Lublin, that tkufa. He was the Talmud Muvak of the Magid from Zlotchev, and the Marsham, who was in Einikol, Ben Achaben, or in that geza of Zlotchev, he writes in his Akdama to Sefer Rishvei Ish, which is a collection of Torahs from Mordechai from Nashchiz, although not a very popular Sefer, we don't have too many Torahs from him. But in his time, he was, you know, like many tzaddikim, who, because we don't have their Torahs, we don't know much about them, but we know a lot about Mordechai from Nashchiz, but we may not be as familiar with him. But he writes, the Marsham, Rabbeinu, Rav Mordechai from Nashchiz, before Simchal Olam, famous throughout the whole world, who hoya echad umeyuchad mitamidi doidi zakeni, Rav Michla from Zlotchev. He was the Talmud of the Zlotchev or Magid, who was himself a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Chayza from Lublin, we'll learn a little bit more, Mitzvah Hashem, about the interactions between the Chayza and Rav Mordechai. So, he used to, when he would learn something, whatever the topic was, he would say at the end, you have to be mesayim with the davar toyev. You can't just, you know, share divrei Torah and end off on a poor note. You have to end off on a good note. So he would end off like this. The chazer would say, the nashchazer is a given a guter yid. That's how he would end. Say something good, that the mordechai from nashchiz is a guter yid. That's how he would end saying Torah. Imagine if the rav gave a drush and at the end he was like, you know, Pliny is a guter yid, and that's how he would end his drushes. Imagine what that means to say that the Chayza from Lublin would end his drushes by saying about Mordechai from Nashchiz, he's a guter yid. And they didn't throw these lines out, you know, stambos, like people today, everybody's a goyin ha'adir, you know, Rashka Bahag. And these, you know, and then if they said the word tzaddik, they meant it. If they said a guter yid, they meant it. It's a guter yid. The Narela Rebbe, he said, B'shem, the Sar Shalom from Belz, who was in that Kufa. And he once told Rav Shalom Kamaka, he said, Rav Mordechai from Nashchiz is the Melech HaMashiach of this generation. And the Divrei Chaim said something, Mamash Apella. He is quoted as saying that there were three people who knew the Kates of Mashiach. Yaakov Avinu, Daniel, and Rav Mordechai from Nashchiz. Imagine such a thing. Everybody's very anxious now to hear stories about Mordechai from Nashchiz. So, by him, everything was emuna. That was his inyan. Emuna, emuna, emuna. We'll see how that was as we go on. So, as we had said, he was a Talmud of the Zlotchev from Magid. So, he said he was once gifted. He once said to the children of the Zlotchev Magid, he said, with the kalim of the Magid Hakadosh, the Magid from Zlotchev, you can be poyel nisim just from the kalim, just from the artifacts, just from the things in his house, you can make yeshuas for people. And he said, oh really? So he says that he there's different accounts of the story, maybe two different stories, but he took like some type of a cup and he started to chisel it. It was made out of wood and it turned into gold just by chiseling it. And on another occasion, he did the same thing. He like scraped off some, you know, something from a chair or another cup maybe, and he would give it to people to drink, and they would have refuah. just from basic stuff in the house of the Maggid. And he once said that if I had a table from the Maggid, I could be Machayim Mason the entire city. If I had a table. Imagine him at that. On one occasion he was actually Machayim Mason. There was a woman that she was in his house he raised a Yasam and an Almana, and he married them off. And there was a woman who was hosting the Simcha, and at the time of hosting the Simcha, so she had a child who fell into some type of a pit and drowned, died. And she came running into the Maggid, and she says, at a time when I'm making a Simcha like this, so I should have a tragedy like that. So he told everybody to leave the room, and he took a cup of hot tea and the cup of the Maggid from the Zlotchever Maggid. And when everybody was in the room, he poured that tea into the child's mouth, and the child had a Tchiyas Mesa. He was the Baal Maifis of the door. I know we say that every time, but he was the Baal Maifis of the generation. In fact, there was on one occasion, he would make Maifisim for Goyim even, and at one point he stopped making Maifisim for Goyim, and he said, I don't have to make Maifisim for them anymore. So the only reason why I made the Maifisim is to prove that there's an Eibishter. Now they know already there's an Eibishter, so I don't have to make Maifisim for them anymore. Saves this Maifisim for Klal Yisrael. What was it we saying?
Maifisim.
For the Yidden.
Yeah.
He only started doing it for the Jews.
Yeah. I was going with that.
I can give you a drink from his cup.
Oh, where did he get the koyach to do maifsim from? Yeah. So he was once at a chasna, and there were many other tzaddikim there, and they were suspect in his earlier years about whether he was getting his koyach from maifsim from the tzaddik kedusha or from the tzaddik tumah. So they went to check him out. So they said, you know, Rebbe, we hear you do lots of maifsim. Where do you get maifsim from? And so he says, oh, he opens up a siddur, and it has the shem and beis, you know, on a bekayach. So he says, you know, when I want to make this refuah, I'm having this part of the shem and beis. When I want to make this type of yeshua, I do this part of the membeis. So he was showing off, like, you know, all of the kavanas. And so they were very, you know, taken by that. And then he says, by the way, I don't use any of these kavanas. So they said, so what do you mean you don't use the kavanas? So how do you make your maifsim? So he says, I'll tell you how I make maifsim. He says, when I was a young man, he says, I was traveling and I saw that in the wagon, there was another person traveling and he was covered in some type of a disease, like from head to toe. And he says, I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the fact to see a Yid B'Tzal like that. So he says that after a little short while later, he says, he cried and he cried and he cried until his mama, she had no koiches left, and he died. And then he went up to Shemayim, the Malachim were giving him funny looks and like, what are you doing here? I'm not to be here now. So he said, I can't take the tzai. I can't live in the world down there to see Yidden and B'tzai like that. So he wouldn't come back down into the world until he had the koyach to be able to be merapi chaylem. And he said that I came back to the world and I have that koyach to be merapi chaylem, and that's what I'm able to make maifsim like that. So when these two tzaddikim heard that, they started to send all of their chaylem to the Natanashchiz. The account is, Reb Shneur from Zemigrad, he said that so many chaylim came with their beds, beds which are made out of wood, and when they would leave, they would come sick on their beds, and then they would leave like regular people. He said they had so much wood from the beds which came that they were able to keep the merchatz hot and warm for the whole year from all the beds which came to Nashris. A tremendous Avos Yisrael, tremendous Avos Yisrael. So once we spoke about this tzaddik, the Sraf, the Heilige Sraf, Strelitzker. So he was a Talmud of originally from Shlomo Karliner. And with the Ptir Shlomo Karliner, so he sent him to the Nashviza to become a Talmud. And there was once a Yid who came in, and the Sraf, like we said stories about him, he was very fiery, that's why he was called the Sraf. So there was one Yid who came to speak to Rav Mordecha, and he was like, you know, talking with a lot of chutzpah, and he saw on his face that he was a big Baal Aveira. And he would speak the chutzpah like that, so he made like some type of a comment. He lashed out at this yid, and he said, how can you talk like that to the tzaddik? And he got very embarrassed, and he ran away, this yid. So Rav Mordecha said to him, He said to him, he says, what, you think that you see what I don't see? You think that I don't see those things? He says, why do you think Rav Shlomo sent you to me? He sent you to me because he knows you're fire, and I have to teach you Avos Yisrael. He says, never ever do you insult another Yid, no matter what madriga he's on. You have to, Adrabba, you have to be makar of them, you have to work with them. But he says, this is why you're here. You're here to know that you don't see what I don't see, and I'm telling you right now, that's not the mahalach. You have to have more Avos Yisrael. There's a kabbal from him. It's Rav Shalom from Belz. He was once learning Maseches Midos, a very hard Masech about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, and he came up to a very shver Tosfos Yontov. He didn't understand Pshat. So mitoich his iyum, he fell asleep, and in his sleep a Yid appeared to him with a very beautiful tzura, and he had tons and tons of keys. He was wearing like keys everywhere keys. So he said to Rav Shalom from Belz, he says, I'm the master of the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. And whatever you want to know in the Tosfos Yontov Shita about the Beis HaMikdash, I'm giving you the keys. Whichever door you want to go in, showed him like the Beis HaMikdash according to the Tosfos Yontov. He says, wherever you want to go in the Beis HaMikdash, I have the keys. So if you want to know Pshat and Tosfos Yontov, just tell me where you want to go. I'll show you what the Tosfos Yontov meant by what he wrote. So he said to him, so who are you? Who are you? He says, Ani Mordechai ben Gittel from Nashchet. That's who I am. He came to him in a dream, and he told him who he was. He said, "I'm the master of the keys of the Beis HaMikdash." And after he woke up, Rav Shalom says he understood Pshat and Tosfos Yontov. He didn't have to take him anywhere. It's just the fact that he had the Gilui of Mordechai from Nashchez, he resolved his difficulties and the Tosfos Yontov in Maseches Midos. You know, he said about the Choyza that he had special feelings towards the Mordechai from Nashchez. So the Lubliner, the Chazal from Lublin, he once asked Shemayim, who's the God of Adar? So his answer that they came back was Mordechai ben Gittel from Nashchiz. Didn't know who that was. But he traveled to the city of Nashchiz, and all the people of the town came out to greet him. The Choyza was famous, but Mordechai was not. So everybody came out to greet him, and Mordechai from Nashchiz himself came out, but he dressed like a peasant. He dressed like a regular person, and he shook the hand of the Choyza, and the Choyza didn't know that it was him. And so when they asked, where's the Rav? So he came to, you know, to, he was asked for Mordechai, so he took him to the house, and he came to see where Mordechai Nashchi is, and he didn't stick out his hand to the Chayza. So the Chayza said, "Ein shalom v'yircha, you don't give shalom to a guest?" He says, "No, I already shook your hand." And so the Chayza was blown away that even though he saw everything, the Chayza, he didn't see that this is Mordechai Nashchi. He said, for the fact that he didn't know where Mordechai Nashchi is, he was mamash blown away by that. And Mordechai said something like, you know, Yesh li chizyonis. He says, I also see. I can also see. So he came to him and he asked him a question. He asked him, Mordechai, he said to him, I've come to you because, he says, it's so difficult for me. I see so much that I, when I look at another Yid, I see everything which is good about him, and I see everything which is not good about him. I want you to take away my ability to see things, anything, because I don't want to see anything bad on the Yid. So he says, I can't help you with that. Mishmayim may have Yohav Mishkol Ashakli. Once they give it from Shemayim, you have to learn how to work with it. Learn how to work with it. Another occasion, so the Lubliner, he came to see Rav Mordechai from Nashchiz, and he said he wanted to take a stroll with him, but nobody could be there. And he had Heligot children, Mordechai from Nashchiz, and he sent them all away. But his one of his children, or maybe his youngest child, who was probably the most famous of Itzko from Nashchiz, so he took him along. And the Chayza was not happy with that. He says, I told you nobody could come. He says, no, he's young. Don't worry about it. You know, he remembered everything. That's why we know this story, because he said that the Chayza, he asked my father, he asked him that he has lots of Adifas in Lublin, and he doesn't know what about to do with all the people who are giving him tzaris. So maybe this is coming because he doesn't know how to work with the Olam. So Mordechai from Nashchiz says, no, that's not the reason why. He says, because on the roof of your house, the sixth beam has too many this and that, so you have to take it off and everything will be fine. And that's exactly what happened, and everything changed. Who can understand? Seid Hashem Lirei of whatever the cheshbonis which they had was, but he said, it had nothing to do with you, it had to do with your beams and your ceiling and the sixth beam, take it off. And that's what he told him. another account of his Avos Yisrael. So there was once a Yid who came, and he waited days, and days turned into weeks to come to see, and he was getting very frustrated that he couldn't see the tzaddik. And then there was one of the Talmidim got, well, you know, finally he was let in. One of the Talmidim says, Rabbi, we never see anything like this for you. Like, you make him wait and wait and wait and wait, not let him come in. What's going on? He says, because when this Yid came to me, I saw in his face that he looked like a mouse. And he had, his whole tsur of a Yid, of a human, was distorted because of the averas which he had done. He says, I couldn't let that type of atonement into my house. It wouldn't be good for him, wouldn't be good for me. So he had, the fact that he couldn't come, he had to work on himself and break himself so that he would have that patience. So now already he had the tsur of a ben adam. So now he was able to come into the house. But that was part of his Avos Yisrael, that he worked with him. He didn't just tell him to, take a hike. He worked with him, but he was doing it for his good, that he would be able to have that surah. And that was the beginning of his working with him. Yeah. Chizah from Lublin said that in Shemayim, there are baskels which come out and they say, Mordechai ben Gittel, bilti lasham levadai. That's what he said about it. Bilti lasham levadai. Mordechai ben Gittel, bilti lasham levadai. Rabbi Yehuda Horowitz, a great tzaddik who lived in our time, we lived in the times with him. A very great tzaddik who lived in London at the end of his life. He was from the Rafshitzer Geza, very, very Rafshitzer, but also Vishnitzer Chassid. Tremendous tzaddik, tzaddik Yisraelo. So he used to say over that that the tzaddikim would say about Mordechai from Nashchiz, they say, by him, his tefillah, his Torah, the way that he eats, his drinking, his sleeping, it's all the same. There's not a difference in his ruchnius and his gashmius at all. And they said that they told the Sava and Yitzchak Rebbe said, he was very close to Rabbi Yehuda. He said that when Rabbi Yehuda would say this over, he would cry. He would cry. He says, he says, do you hear what's being said? You hear what's being said? He says, he lived in the Dor Adeya of great, great tzaddikim. But about him, they said this Shabbat, that there was no difference at all. Between his ruchnius and how he did his gashmius. There was no difference at all. The way that he took a sitter in his hand was the way that he took a kugel in his hand. Mamish, the same thing. Type of madregas, that is. Perhaps that's the pshad, we have in the parsha. It says, Malamit Shivcha Shal Aaron Shaloshina. The Shalach of Aaron Shaloshina, that it was not, there was no difference by Aaron Kohen, whether he was lighting the menorah, or he was having a piece of basar from the Mizbeach. By him, it was Mamash Shaloshina, Shivcha Shal Aaron Shaloshina. There was once a misnagid who had a chassidish friend who was a chassid of Mordechai, and he pestered him to come, and he said, "Please come to the Rebbe." He said, "I'm not going to your Rebbe." He says, "I'll make you a deal. If you come to the Rebbe and you're not satisfied, then I won't be a chassid anymore of the Rebbe." Not so much they loved their Rebbes and how much they were willing to mention it. "I won't go with him anymore if you're not satisfied." So he came, and as soon as he stuck this masnagid stepped into the sukkah, it came on sukkah, stepped into the sukkah of Rav Matla, he says that he was able to see with his eyes all the Sheva Ushpizin. All the Sheva Ushpizin. And right away he became a chassid of Mordechai from Nashchiz. But the chassid was upset, and he said to him, "Rebbe, how come he sees and I don't see?" He says, "You're on a bigger madriga because you have emuna. Having emuna is a bigger madriga than seeing. To him, I had to make a maifis so that he would, I could bring him close. But for you, you're on a bigger madriga, so don't be upset you don't see. You're higher than seeing."
You also had to make sure that he didn't have to leave.
Huh?
You also had to make sure he didn't lose that chassid.
Right, yeah, that's true. You have to say that, yeah. Yeah. Once, he was saying Tikkun El Shavuos on the night of Shavuos, and he heard that there was some noise coming from the room next door, and he concluded that it was a robber. And then he had a whole shayla. Rav Yudel said this over. He had a whole shayla whether he should make a hefsek in his tikkun el shavuos to stop the robber. That was his cheshbon. And Rav Yudel, we used to say this, he used to cry. He would say, "We can learn from here the derech of the tzaddikim that they didn't make a move without a das torah." Meaning our reaction would just be like, "Oh, somebody didn't scream and run away." He says he was in the middle of tikkun. He said, "Is it worth it to be mafsik in my tikkun el shavuos to deal with the situation?" And he decided he wasn't going to. And he just continued doing the tikkun. Two reasons why. First of all, how can I be mafsik? I don't want to be mafsik in the tikkun. Secondly, I'm going to embarrass the ganav. So He decided not to. But then he was upset about it afterwards because the other people's things were stolen, not just his things. So he said his things to be taken, not a big deal. But other people's things to be taken, he was very tzabrachan. So he went to Rav Pinchas Karetzer, who was the Isha Emes, and you know, he would have a solution for this. So as soon as he walked into the door, so Rav Pinchas took one look at him and he said to him, he says, well, if you hear that there are Ganavim, why don't you do anything? That's what he said. If you know that there are, he knew Ruach HaKodesh already why he was coming. If you knew there were Ganavim, why don't you do anything? So he didn't say why. He didn't say because he didn't want to be mafsik in the tikkun. But he says that when those words came out of Pinchas' mouth, if you hear the ganav, like with such a pachad, why don't you do anything? He says the ganav came running and he gave back all the stuff. There was a Sefer Torah which he had written. We spoke about the tzaddik going back a number of months ago, but Moshe from Shavorsk. Remember that? The Or Pnei Moshe. He was the very famous sofer that all the tzaddikim wanted their tefillin written by, and a very, very famous tzaddik. So he begged Rav Moshe from Shavorsk to write him a Sefer Torah. The Nashkizu was a very wealthy person, by the way. Through his kedusha, he had shnei shulchanos. He had everything. So he told Moshe from Shavorsk, whatever he wants, he's going to give him whatever he wants, as long as he writes him a Sefer Torah. So he was debating whether or not, but he had a chalim that Ali Melech, the name of the Melech, came to him and says, don't go, don't do it. Don't go to Nashchez, don't write the Torah. And so even though he passed it and he said, please come, he says, I can't come. He says, I can't come. So the Nashchez wasn't going to miss out on this. So it happened in Shemaim that the daughter of the Or Pnei Moshe got sick and he had to come to Nashchez to get a refuah for his daughter. But now that he was there, it was an opportunity for him to get him to write the Sefer Torah. And he finally agreed. It took him 7 years to write the Torah. 7 years to write the Torah. And Rav Mordechai himself, for every shame in the Sefer Torah, he wrote it himself. Okay, can you imagine a Torah like that? Now, this Torah, it fell into Yerushim to the hands of the Belzer Rabbi Bishula. He paid 3,000 reinish, which was a tremendous sum of money in order to acquire this Torah. And it came to Belz, and he had it there. And the Shin of Arav, who we spoke about too, the son of the Tzanz Arav, you know, he was a very strong person in Ish Emes, and he came to Rabbi Shua. They actually married into each other's mishpachas, and he said he wanted to read from the Torah. He wanted to take a look at the Torah. Shua said, "No, I don't want you to." He said, "Why can't I see the Torah? Why can't I read from the Torah? Can I see it?" He says, "No, because I know you. You're an Ish Halacha. You're going to look at it and you're going to make corrections. You're going to say it's puzzle this word, this letter. I don't want you puzzling up the Torah." So he said, "Yeshua, I promise I won't do anything. I won't do it. Show me the Torah. I'm not going to say a word." He said, "Okay, mask it." But Yeshua knew that he couldn't help himself and it would be an issue. So he had two chassidim. He said, "I want you to stand next to him by the Sefer Torah when he reads from the Torah. And I want that, because he's going to make corrections. He's going to say, this letter is pasul, that letter is pasul. He said, I want you to chazer all hilchas stam, and so that you know exactly all the halachas of kashas of the Torah. So when he makes some type of a ha'ara, that you'll be able to correct him and say that it's kasher." And they did exactly that. And he was right. He would read it and he would say this word, that word. And anyways, they had it covered. They had it covered. So this Sefer Torah, in the war, it had to go here, had to go there. There's a whole story about what happened. Anyways, at one point, it fell into the hands of a certain chassid, and he was afraid that it was going to be taken, so he buried it somewhere. And today, we don't know where that Sefer Torah is. And the one who accounts is halavai, we should be zeichet to find that Torah. But in order that it shouldn't be lost, it should be buried. So whatever it is, that Torah exists, but it's just we don't know exactly where it is at the moment.
Still kosher.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Avos Yisrael from Vizhnitz, I think we may have spoken about the Avos Yisrael. So he had a tabak box, you know, the sniffing box, that he had from a Mordechai from Nashchez, and he survived the war, and this was the most precious thing to him in the world, was this box of tabak. So once one of the officers, Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they came in, and they were looking through the house what they were going to take, and he took that box. And the Avos Yisrael was mamash heartbroken. But he said that as he was leaving the house after rummaging around and taking it, he took the box and threw it on the floor. And he left. So the Avos Yisrael, his mamash, had such a relief. And he says, it's not the pshat that he threw away the tabak box. It's the box threw him away. That's the pshat. The box threw him away. He had a good box in there. Marech ten ashchiz. He went to to the Kedushas Levi once. For Sukkis, and the Kedushas Levi didn't allow anybody in his room, and he would shake lulav. But Rav Mordechai Chevshen Ashchiz, he allowed in. And you know how the Kedushas Levi shook lulav, right? All of his kaiches, you know, like the Gemara said, Rabbi Bikiva, he started in this corner and ended up in that corner. So Mordechai Chevshen Ashchiz says that when the Kedushas Levi took the lulav and he shook the lulav, it was mamish. He was going all around the room, but he was getting close to the wall, and he was mamish going to like hit his head against the wall. So he says what happened was that he got so close that the wall moved over, covered the Kedushas Levi, and he says till today that he said that spot, the wall didn't come back. It was like it's left over there, covered the Kedushas Levi, that in order that he shouldn't bang his head, the wall had derech eretz and moved out of the way for Kedushas Levi. So once the Rambam, he appeared to Rav Mordechai Chevshen Ashchiz with a taina that he says, don't you know about my sefer, the Yad HaChazaka? He says, why aren't you learning my sefer? I'm not spending enough time learning my sefer, Yad HaChazaka. So he apologized to the Rambam. He says, I have so many tirdas, tzarchi tzibur. People would come from all over the place for Yeshuas by him. So he says, I don't have time to learn. I don't have time to learn it. So the Rambam said, okay, if you can't learn it, at least keep it on your table. At least keep it on your table. And I'm avtiach you, you know, Rambam was a doctor, that every time you open up my sefer, if a chayla comes to you and you look in the sefer, you'll know exactly what to do to give him a refuah. That's what the Rambam told him. And that's what happened. He kept it on the table. People would come in. He had the Rambam. He would open it up. He'd look inside and he would say, you know, so you have to do it. We'll conclude with this. This is very, as you see, there's mamash such beautiful stories of the of Mordechai Chevshen Ashchiz. So, in his earlier years, he was the Rav of a smaller town, Lashnov, and he was very poor. He would have a salary, but he would take some of it and put it away because he knew that, you know, come Sukkot time, he'd have to buy an Esrog. So that's the tzaddik savings. And he's thinking about what mitzvahs he has to do. Not retirement fund, but he's thinking about what mitzvahs he's going to need to do. So he would put money away. And Esrogim were very expensive. Not like today, the shtickle expensive, but, you know, in those days it was much more, and they're very rare. So finally it came close to Sukkot, and he traveled to the city abroad to be able to buy this Esrog. 6 ruble, that's how much it was going to cost, that's how much he took with him. So on the way, he saw that there was a Vastachugger who was crying, and he asked him, what do you cry about? And he said, I'm an ani, and I had a horse, and my horse is dead. And I don't have my parnasa now, I have a wagon driver, and I have nothing. So with his rachmanis and his avos yisroel, he says, how much did your horse, would it cost to buy a new horse? He said, 6 ruble. So he said, he knew this was an yisrael min hashamayim. So he gave him the 6 ruble. I mean, the whole year he was saving for this esrog, but now that he saw that this came his way, he said, this is what the money is supposed to be meant for. To be machai the ani is more important than having an esrog.
So why can't he bring the horse back to life? Ah.
Good shot. The earlier years.
He stopped doing the mice from the goyim.
So he said when it came right before Sukkot, so he said the Olam this year everybody's going to be making a bracha on their Esrog Shal Mitzvah, but this year I make a bracha on my Sus Shal Mitzvah, the horse Shal Mitzvah. That's my bracha this year, is on that Sus. But that the Maisa is that Min HaShemayim, it was Nizdam that he got an Esrog. He just brought him an Esrog. He didn't lose out by doing the Mitzvah. He still got his Esrog. I'm a shahil gatzadik. Schus yagalina v'al kari solim.
You shaking your head a little.